Or for example, we could consider one of the most famous castles in history, the Neuenstein Castle. It's straight out of a fairy tale when you look at it. In fact, it is the model castle that Walt Disney used to build Cinderella's there at Disney World. But when we get up close to that fantasy castle, we understand that poor Ludwig died before it was finished. And just like Disney castles, while the outside is pretty, it's just a facade and the inside is crumbling. A beautiful shell that merely masks dust and decay. You see, whenever we attempt to create paradise for ourselves here in this world, it fails. All of our attempts to create a perfect world or a pristine palace in this place, it ends up in death, desolation, and destruction. And depressing as it might think to think that we live in a dusty, decaying world, not just as evidenced by the buildings around us, but as evidenced, friends, by our very own lives. It didn't start that way, though. God's original plan for our lives was to be healthy, wealthy, prosperous, and wise. And we're told in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that God saw everything that he made, and when God made it, it was indeed very what? You see, nothing bad comes from the hand of God. Amen? Everything that God does, he does very well. And when God does it, and when we allow God to do it in our lives, we live the best lives possible. In the lives that God created for us here in this world, there was no sin, there was no death, there was no destruction, no diabetes, no cancer, no hurt, no heartache. All we had to do was follow the plan that God had set for our lives. But in the lives of Adam and Eve, there in the garden, they walked away from God's plan. And in walking away from God's perfect plan for their life, sin entered into this world, and now we see the effects of it. See, in this world, we still have beautiful things. We still have a beautiful planet. We still see the hand of God and the fingerprints of his miraculous work in creation. But the reality is, as beautiful as creation is, as beautiful as a newborn baby is, and the babies that we dedicated to God this morning, the reality is that from the moment that we are born, we begin to die. It's a sad reality, a true fact of the state of creation and what creation is right now. But the way that creation is right now, God has not removed himself from our planet, nor our presence. God still wants to be with us. He wants to interact with us. He wants to intervene in the things that are hurting us if we but give him the opportunity to come on in and have his way. You know, all the times that we have tried to create paradise for ourselves here on this earth, and castles that are pristine and majestic, castles that are falling apart, Jesus made us this promise in regards to paradise. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus wants us to know that all the things that could weigh us down or frustrate us or scare us or cause us fear or make us think that our world is falling apart, it's okay because God is in control. Amen? And for all our castles that are crumbling here in this world, Jesus has made us a precious promise. Jesus said, "In my Father's house, there are how many mansions? Many mansions. And if it were not so," Jesus said, "I would let you know." You're not following fairy tales or cunningly devised fables. Jesus said, "I'm going to make you a promise. Better yet, I'm going to make you a covenant that if you put your faith in me, I will take care of you. I will bless you above and beyond what you could think or imagine." And Jesus said, "If I leave this world, I'm leaving to prepare a place for you." Can you say amen? We have a wonderful, loving Lord, a precious Savior, a compassionate God who will spare no expense for you and I to have entrance into the kingdom of heaven. All God asks of us is to give our hearts and our lives to Jesus. Sadly, friends, it seems the only time we want to give our hearts and our lives to Jesus is when we see natural disasters, terrorist attacks, wars, or famine. But friends of mine, being with Jesus is an everyday affair. Amen. Living with and in Christ is something that we make a conscientious effort to do each and every day, that each and every day Jesus can prepare and refine our character for His kingdom that is to come. And in regard to that kingdom, Jesus made this promise in John chapter 14, verse 3. Jesus said, "If I go to prepare those mansions, I will do what?" What will He do? "I will come again." And Jesus said, "I will receive you to myself, that where I am, you can be there also." I don't know about you, friends, but I want to be where Jesus is. Amen? Because that's the life of the party. That's where the action is. That's where we find our source of life and our sustenance. And Jesus promises us the privilege of having all eternity with Him if we trust Him and obey Him and allow Him to come into our lives. What a wonderful, precious promise that Jesus would do so. In regards to Jesus working and moving in time, we are told this in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, that Jesus must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to do what to everything? Restore everything as God promised long ago through His holy process. We are in a process of going from rubble to restoration. Amen. We are in the waiting room, and Jesus promises us that He will come back again and put this planet back in order as He originally intended. But you know what, friends? While we're waiting for that precious day, Jesus doesn't want you to live life in a worse capacity. Jesus wants you to have life more abundantly. Amen? And Jesus is not only interested in restoring this world. Jesus is not only interested in restoring His creation or this planet. Jesus wants to restore your heart. Jesus wants to restore your home. Jesus wants to restore your health. Jesus wants to restore your marriage. Amen? Amen. Jesus wants to come into your life and make your life better than what it has ever been before. And it only stands to reason that if Jesus is the creator, if Jesus is the maker, and if Jesus is the sustainer of all life, that only Jesus knows how to live life to the fullest. I believe if we look to Jesus, friends, we can have a hope of living life to the fullest. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, the Bible describes that hope. The Bible says, "For behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind." There are some people in my church who have had cancer and diabetes cured because they have lived according to the principles of health that are found in Scripture. And just as Jesus can make a new heavens and a new earth, friends of mine, right now today, if you commit, if you consent, if you covenant to live according to the health laws and principles that God has given to bless and benefit you, you can have a brand new life. Do you believe it? That's God's intention for you. It's intention for your family. And friends of mine, if you cooperate with God's plan and His process, it can be a reality in your life. Peter understood this reality, and he said it in 2 Peter 3, verse 13. He said, "Nevertheless, we, according to Jesus' promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness does what?" What does it do? Friends of mine, if you let righteousness dwell in you, in your life, in your watching, in your listening, in your eating, Jesus Christ can transform your life. We've talked about God's laws and how they govern everything in our universe. And friends of mine, we expressed throughout the course of Dinner with the Divine that one of the reasons we suffer from depression is from the bad choices we make. Choices that God has given us a free moral activity in, to win or to lose, to choose life or to choose death. And I said it night by night in Dinner with the Divine, we can't feel good without doing good. Amen? And each and every day, Jesus woos us. He beckons us to do better than we have before. with our bodies, with our minds, with our thoughts, with our words and our actions, give glory and honor to God, that God might give glory and honor to us here in this world and bless us above and beyond what we could think or imagine. One of the ways, friends, that Seventh-day Adventist Christians live on average a decade longer is because they have emotional stability and peace of mind. We have emotional stability and peace of mind in the fact that Jesus Christ is working on a process of rubble to restoration. That Jesus Christ is, in fact, coming again. Can you say amen? Amen. And according to the scriptures, the second coming of Jesus Christ to this world, it is going to be a literal event. The Bible tells us this in Titus chapter 2, verse 3, that as Christians, we look forward to the blessed hope. What type of hope is it? It is the blessed hope, which is the what? Glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? A lot of times today, we see Hollywood and media and entertainment try and express to us through TV and movies how the world is going to end. And some of those fictional things that we see in the modern media outlets scare us. They give us fear and apprehension in regards to our future. But the Bible tells us the future, and it does not say that our world ends with war, plague, famine, or anything of that sort. The Bible says the cataclysmic end to this earth's history is a glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our God. And friends, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I stand in anxious anticipation of that day. Amen? But until that day comes, Jesus Christ wants me to live the best life here and now. Jesus said, "Occupy till I come." And just as Jesus gave dominion and power to Adam and Eve in this world, Jesus wants you to have dominion and power over sin, over poverty, over disease, and over death. Amen? Amen. Jesus wants us to be the head and not the tail. And science is suggesting that Seventh-day Adventist Christians who live on average 10 years longer than their counterparts are living up to that promise that Jesus has given to us. Jesus' second coming, according to Scripture, is also a visible event. The Bible tells us this in regards to that blessed hope in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, that same Jesus who was taken up from the sight of the disciples into heaven will so come in like manner as we saw him go. You know, one of the things that gives us hope, that buoys our confidence and encourages us as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, is that we know that we are not following cunningly devised fables or fairy tales. Amen? That this Jesus we read about, this Jesus that we study about in our Bibles, he's not just a philosophy, not just an ideology, not just an idea. He's a risen Savior and the Son of God. He's coming again, and when he comes again, we'll see him face to face. We'll walk with him in paradise and hold his hand. We'll give him a kiss on the cheek of faithfulness and thanksgiving for everything he's done to get us there. What a precious privilege we have as Seventh-day Adventist Christians to share this incredible truth with the world, that Jesus will come in a glorious, spectacular event that all the world will see and all the world will be blessed by. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who did what?" As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, one of the reasons we have a blessed assurance, a blessed hope, and a wonderful confidence is that when Jesus Christ comes again in the clouds, and every eye will see him, we will be vindicated by those who mocked us and scorned us and persecuted us. It doesn't matter what our friends, our family, our co-workers, or our peers think. All that matters is that we are faithful to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And one day when Jesus Christ comes and the sky rolls apart like a scroll and every eye looks to the heavens and they say, those Seventh-day Adventists, they knew what they were talking about. I look forward to that glorious day. Amen. The second coming of Jesus Christ is going to be an audible event. The Bible says that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I can't wait to hear that sound. Amen. The loud cry of Jesus Christ calling all of our loved ones, calling our dearly departed brother Jim Cox from the grave, saying, Jim, you wake up and come on up to where you belong. One of the reasons we live longer as Seventh-day Adventists, because we live every day encouraged, unflinching in the face of death. I had the privilege and the honor of spending some of Jim's last hours with him. And as he laid on that hospital bed preparing, he understood where he was going. He wasn't afraid. He was at peace. He had joy in his heart and he was cracking jokes. He wanted you all to know that he loved you. And he wanted you all to know that he's prepared to meet his Lord. As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, friends, each and every day, we make the most of each day because we know that when Jesus comes again, we'll hear him, we'll see him, we'll praise him, and we'll be with him. Amen? Amen. The second coming of Christ, according to Scripture, it is a glorious event. The Bible tells us this in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. It says that when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. Friends of mine, we don't have to wait until that day to give Jesus the glory. Amen. We can do it right now in our hearts, in our homes, with our children, with how we eat, what we drink, how we treat our wives and our spouses. We can give honor and glory to God by what Jesus has taught us to do and then by doing it. Do you hear me, church? We can give God the glory through living lives of obedience, which honor his name and exalt him in all the earth. We will have the privilege of seeing Jesus Christ one day and saying, "This is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us." Amen. We see it on the news. We read it on the internet. The economy is crumbling. The ecology is crumbling. The sky is falling and our world is going to ashes. As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we've known it for centuries. It's only signs, waymarks, paths that lead us to that day when Jesus Christ comes to rescue us from a world that is dying. And as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we have that blessed hope that Jesus Christ will never lie, that he will fulfill every promise he has made, and he will save us and our children. Amen. The second coming of Christ is a soon event. The Bible tells us this in Revelation 22 and verse 12. Jesus said to us Seventh-day Adventist Christians, "Behold, I am coming when? Soon, and my word is with me," as Trey read today. And Jesus said, "I will give to everyone according to what he has done." I believe, friends of mine, one of the reasons that we Seventh-day Adventists live on average 10 years longer is because we have done the greatest work of all. We have given our faith and our trust and our hope to Jesus. The greatest thing that we can do each and every day is go to the throne of grace and mercy, where each and every day we can find forgiveness and we can place our trust, our hopes, and our righteousness in the hands of Jesus Christ. You see, I believe we are saved by works, the works of Jesus Christ for us. Amen. And by faith, I cling to those works. By faith, I cling to those righteousness. By faith, I cling to what my Savior and Lord has done for me and given me despite what I deserve. One of the reasons that Seventh-day Adventists can have eternal life is because we have accepted the works of Jesus Christ for us in our lives. Amen. Jesus says, "I am coming quickly." And Jesus wants each and every one of us to be ready. I want to be ready to see Jesus when he comes in the clouds. Amen. I want him to say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. Well done, my son." Jesus wants to say that to each and every one of us. And I believe that we live longer, we live healthier, we live better because we live in anticipation of those wonderful words. You know, our world is falling apart. And we understand from Scripture that before Jesus comes, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom will rise against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And we see all those things coming to fruition as predicted and prophesied by Jesus Christ. But because we see them coming just as He predicted, we can have peace of mind throughout the course of the storm. We can have peace of mind and assurance to know that just as Jesus said, it will happen. And most importantly, just as Jesus predicted it will end, it will. And Jesus predicts that our world will end with a new heaven and a new earth. Do you want to be there? I want to be there, beloved. And as we prepare for that day, Jesus wants to prepare our hearts and our bodies and our mind. The only thing that we can take with us into that new heaven and our new earth is our character. What word did I say?
Character.
Our character. All our palaces, all our edifices, all our architecture, our bodies, they are crumbling and decaying. But Jesus says that if we choose Him day by day, He can refine our character and give us the best life here and now and in the world to come. The Bible says in regards to that world to come, John said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth, it passed away, and there was no longer any sea." John said, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." And John said, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them.'" Sounds like a pretty good deal, amen? And Jesus goes on to tell us that He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There's not going to be any more death. There's not going to be any more mourning. There's not going to be any more crying, no more pain, because the old order of things is passed away. And He who will sit on the throne will say, "Behold, I am making all things new." Write it down, John, for these words are faithful and true. You can trust Jesus. Amen. And what Jesus said, you can take it to the bank. And Jesus says, here's how you can prove me here in this life right now. Trust what I said about what to eat. Trust what I said about what to drink. Trust what I said about how to live. And see if you don't trust me and if you don't obey me. See how much more I can bless your life when your life is in harmony with my will. One of the reasons we Seventh-day Adventists live on average a decade longer is because we're doing our best each and every day to live according to the will of Jesus Christ. And we need to keep on keeping on, amen? For those areas where our faith and our obedience is shallow and weak, Paul says that we need to go from strength to strength. We need to trust Jesus and obey Jesus and believe that Jesus can grant us His Spirit to get better in those areas, amen? The devil is a liar when he says we cannot keep the law of God. The devil is a liar when he says we cannot obey the health principles that God has given to us. The devil is the liar when he says that you and your family, that you and your marriage, that you in any situation you face cannot overcome it and be victorious in Christ Jesus. My Bible tells me that all things are possible through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And we need to start exploring those possibilities in our lives and in our families. Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water life without what? It is free." You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. You can't achieve it. You can't strive too hard to get it. All we can do is say yes to Jesus each and every day. And when we say yes to Jesus each and every day, science and evidence bears witness to the testimony of the reliability of God's Word when it suggests that Seventh-day Adventists live longest here on this earth. Jesus said to us in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 7, he or she who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But friends of mine, we don't have to wait till that day to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is waiting with arms wide open right now, while probation remains open right now for all of us who want to come home to our Creator. Amen? Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to what Jesus is leading you to. Say yes to the blessing that Jesus is trying to give you instead of making castles and edifices of your own. The Bible tells us that in that new heavens and that new earth, the wolf and the lamb will feed together, that the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the dust will be serpent's food. You realize, friends of mine, I don't want to break anybody's heart, but there's not going to be hamburgers in heaven. You realize that, right? And if we're going to be eating from the fruit of the tree of life in heaven, I believe we should be eating from the fruit of trees that give us healthy lives right here on earth. Amen? We need to get rid of some of those unhealthy animal products or dairy products that we put into our bodies. Things that God never intended for us and never intended that we eat or consume. Friends of mine, we can live without it. Amen? And we can trust God when God has given us a diet that is best and beneficial for us. The Bible says that they will not harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And friends of mine, we need to stop harming and destroying our bodies in the here and now if we're going to live with Him in eternity. Amen? We can do better for Jesus with what we eat. I can do better for Jesus with what we eat. Amen? We are precious in the sight of our God. And just as you parents guard and govern what your babies put into their bodies, because if your babies could set the meal for dinner, we would be having cake and Skittles and Sprite every night. Amen? But as loving parents, you have to intervene and say, no, we're not going to have that. We're going to have something better. God has something better for us. Amen? And we can trust Him. We can trust Him. The Bible tells us that it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come to worship before me, says the Lord. And friends of mine, part of the reason that we Seventh-day Adventists live on average longer is because we live our lives with Jesus. As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we should be having morning worship with our children and our families. Amen? Evening worship with our children and our families. Amen? Midday worship with our children and our families. Amen? We don't eat once a week. And if we don't eat once a week, we should not only get spiritual sustenance in church on the Sabbath. Amen? Each and every day, we should have a living connection to Jesus Christ. And I believe you devout Seventh-day Adventist Christians out there do. And that's why God is enhancing our life. Because in Him we live and move and breathe. Amen? And we have to be in Him each and every day as we will in the earth made new. Is there something better than this world that we're in? You bet there is. That's what Jesus has promised to us. Jesus has promised to us as a people, as us to believers, as us as a body, that He is making all things new. And as He makes all things new, Jesus Christ is preparing a people on this earth to be ready for His second coming. I want to be part of that process. That restoration process from rubble to restoration. Amen? Jesus offers, friends of mine, life transformation. And throughout the course of the past week, that's what we've been talking about at Dinner with the Divine. That God can cure hurt, He can cure heartache, He can cure depression, He can cure disease, He can cure diabetes, He can cure cancer. We're not talking about Benny Hinn miracle crusades. We're talking about simple faith, trust, and obedience to what God says to do. But we have to make that choice. God can't make it for you. And in regards to that choice, today and every day, Jesus speaks to us from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. The final message of Jesus Christ to all mankind, the theme of dinner with the divine. Jesus says to us today, "Behold, I stand at your door and I knock. And anyone among you who hears my voice and opens the door, Jesus says, I will come in and I will have dinner with you. And you with me. I want to have dinner with the divine. How about you, Chandler Church? And I want God's divinity to work in my life to show Jesus to the world. I want our Seventh-day Adventist Church to be a beacon of hope for all those who are lost, who are hurt, who are suffering, and who are dying. To share with them the knowledge and the resources that God has given to us that they might experience the best life now. And for those of you who are visiting with us today, for those of you who are not Seventh-day Adventist Christians, I thank you for listening to me talk about my church in the manner that I do. But I do because I believe my church has an important message to share with you. And I believe that if you trust it, if you taste and see that God is good, that you'll see life in a way, in a manner, and a blessing that you have never seen before. Today, for all of you who are in the valley of decision, for all of you who might be wondering whether or not you're willing to learn about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, its teachings, its principles, its message that Jesus Christ has given to you for you to be blessed.